It's happening, readers. We have heard that you want paperbacks from our tailored book recommendation service called TBR. And I'm delighted to let you know that we're going to be in sync with your request. That's right. We're bringing paperbacks. Whether you hate carrying around bulky hardcovers, you're on a budget, you want a wider range of recommendations, or all of the above, now you can get a paperback subscription from TBR curated just for you by one of our bibliologists. Get all the details at mytbr.co. That's mytbr.co. We're bringing paperbacks.
Welcome to SFF Yeah, a podcast dedicated to all things science fiction and fantasy. This is episode 143, and we are recording a little bit early on November 23rd. I'm Jen Northington. I'm here with very special guest, Erica Azifetti, filling in for Sharifa. And today we're going to talk about fictional worlds that we do and do not want to visit. So welcome, Erica.
Thank you so much. It's fun to be here again. You know, always like sliding through real quick, sliding into your podcast DMs.
Yes. As it were. I know. It's always a good time when we get to record together.
Absolutely.
And I was very excited to choose like a kind of, shall we call it a wiggly theme? Like there's a lot of room to play with this theme.
A wiggly, that's a good analogy. I'm going to use that from now on. Yeah, he was a little wiggly. Like, girl, what does that mean? You know, when someone's wiggly.
Right?
You know?
You know. It makes sense in my head somehow.
It's very logical.
totally logical. So let's see. So tell the people where you usually are.
I'm usually with the fabulous Tears of Price on Hey YA. We discuss all things young adult lit, and we get lit, JK, legally, of course. It's very fun. You should drop by sometime. We have fun over there. Yes.
Excellent. All right. But you also, obviously, you love science fiction and fantasy.
Yes. That's actually my favorite, I would say, for YA, for whatever reason. That's what I read most in YA is science fiction and fantasy. Yes.
Nice.
I'm not like really much of a contemporary girl or a romance girl for YA. I like science fiction and fantasy for YA and mystery for YA.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Well, there you have it.
I think I have a YA book that I decided to talk about too.
Oh,
today.
Excellent. Yeah, we talk about YA here. you know.
You're like, yeah, we do that.
We do know. That. It's all overlap. Every now and then we do middle grade just for funsies.
Like, just
we
to like switch to... it up.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I respect that.
All right. Well, let's see. So we're going to do some news. Then we're going to talk about these fictional worlds that we would and would not go to.
Yes.
But first, we will hear from a sponsor.
It's happening, readers. We have heard that you want paperbacks from our tailored book recommendation service called TBR. And I am delighted to let you know that we're going to be in sync with your request. That's right. We're bringing paperbacks. Whether you hate carrying around bulky hardcovers, you're on a budget, you want a wider range of recommendations, or all of the above, now you can get a paperback subscription from TBR curated just for you by one of our bibliologists. Get all the details at mytbr.co. That's mytbr.co. We're bringing paperbacks.
All right, so let's start, because I know that you saw this, and I am still, I know. Let's talk about Black Panther Wakanda Forever, which smashed their box office opening, right?
Yes, it did really well. It did really well.
And you saw it?
Yes, I saw it. I have to admit, I was a little late and I was getting kind of salty because I was trying to help my friend find parking. It has nothing to do with the movie, but I'm just going to say, I was like, well, I would like to see a few minutes of the movie, please. Like, can we get this together, please? And then by the end of the movie, I was like, I've been in here half a day. It's like almost 3 hours. I'm just saying that because wow. I was salty that I missed like the first 5 minutes because the previews were super long. But anyway, let me tell you something. I loved it. It's easy for me to cry, so this might not be saying anything, but I was high key sniffling at the end. I blamed it on my allergies because I was sitting next to a friend who like like doesn't believe in crying at movies. So I was just like, you know, is pollen in here? And it was so, it was so, it was, I really enjoyed it. I plan on seeing it again.
Mm.
I will say, and I want to, oh, I wish you had seen it. So we could really like get real dicey.
Yeah.
I will say, I feel like I still like the first one better.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I still like the first one better. For one, I feel like it wasn't almost 3 hours long. It was right. Really like two hours and 45 minutes. I thought she was going to come in real cute at 2:30, like two hours and 30 minutes. But she was like, no, girl, we get an extra 15 minutes. Rest in peace, Chadwick, you know, which was all throughout. They had an interesting choice. I can't discuss. I want to hear what you have to say about it when you watch it.
All right.
I thought it was too much on Shuri. That's what I'm going to say. I'm like, we already got this. But yeah, I liked it. And I like Namor in his little shorts. And M'Baku is M'Thiku. Okay. Glorious thickness. That's what I have to say about M'Baku. I love M'Baku. I love him. And I love the little short guy. The shorts. Not that he's short. The shorts guy.
The shorts.
They were giving us visuals with the two of them. You see what I'm saying? I was like, I like that. And I like that. I like both of these things.
I really am so excited to see it. And I also, like, not for nothing, I think it's fantastic that it, like, it set a new box office record, right? Like, it earned $180 million. This is the most since Hunger Games Catching Fire came out in 2013.
That's
pretty freaking fantastic. It's the biggest November opening ever, specifically. You know, congratulations to everyone involved. We're going to have a link to the Mary Sue reporting on it by Rachel Davies in the show notes. You can learn more about this. Black Panther out there killing it.
Seriously. And I love that it had, it had like Mesoamerican representation.
Yeah.
And I know the actor who plays Namor. Mm-hmm. He's like an activist in Mexico and stuff. Mm. And he talks about like the colorism and stuff.
Oh, wow.
So it was really cool seeing indigenous folks on there too.
Yeah.
Loved it.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I noticed in your In the Club newsletter this week that you did like a little theme there, which was really fun. So.
Oh, yes. I did the Mesoamerica. I always love learning about like Mesoamerica, like Aztec and Mayan, because they gets real crunchy. Like they was really into like, I don't know. There's just a lot that you could pull from them for like movies and novels and things.
Yeah.
And I love when we finally get to see some. So
yes,
I was like,
100%.
Point these girls out because they're fabulous. Yes. same with African
That's
mythology
right.
and stuff. But yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Awesome. Well, okay, good. So Wakanda Forever, go see it. It's already doing great. Good, good news there. Some more good news, which is actually we're only having good news today. I made the agenda. I decided only good news.
Period. Only good news.
So the next piece of good news that we'll talk about here is that the 2021 Shirley Jackson Award winners, I mean, they're announced in 2022 for books that were published in 2021. These were announced at the end of October. We just hadn't had a chance to talk about it before now. And the Shirley Jackson Award list is always really interesting to me because it's not necessarily SFF. It's horror, psychological suspense, and dark fantasy.
Yeah.
So it's overlap, but not exact. So it was very cool to see this list. I mean, I'm too much of a weenie for most of these books.
Weenie Hut Jr.
Exactly. But I did actually read one of them. I have read, thanks to Sharifa, I have read Flowers for the Sea by Zin E. Rockland, which won for the novella category. We've talked about Stephen Graham Jones on this show before. He won for My Heart is a Chainsaw, which is awesome. There's a bunch more winners that y'all should go check out. We're going to have a link in the show notes. But it's always an interesting list, especially if you like that dark, dark stuff, which I know some of you do. So
yes. I haven't read any of these because, again, weenie.
Yeah.
But I started My Heart as a Chainsaw and I didn't finish it not because the story was bad. It was just, I think I had to finish something else. but a lot of these books are already on my list.
Yeah. So. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's good stuff. I read a Stephen Graham Jones short story in mm-hmm. Best American Science Fiction and Fantasy that was awesome. Amazing.
Yes.
So, yeah, he's just always out here doing good stuff. So check out that list. You can, you know, see the finalists and the winners. Congratulations to everyone. And then I'm very excited about this, Erica.
I see. Yeah, you're over here typing.
Did you watch the Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur teaser?
Yes, I did. And I don't know who they got on the track. They got Taylor Swift or SZA or some hit maker because that was a whole bop. I was singing along to it after. I was like, I was like, I listened to it once.
Yes.
I was like, that stuck in my head. I was like, what? I had to look. I actually never heard of Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur.
I was going to ask you. So yeah. I was so excited when they announced, like for 1,000 years ago, they announced that they were making a cartoon for Marvel's Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. And I have read some of the recent comic runs. You know, they reboot these so frequently, but in the past like 10 years, I have read some Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. Love it. It is about, you know, a little girl who loves STEM, a little black girl, and she gets a T-Rex sidekick in like the city. Like, how can you not love all of these things? Like, there's so much, and they've made it a cartoon. It has strong, I want to say like Powerpuff Girl vibes.
Yes. It's like, it has like updated. Is that the, it's kind of retro Powerpuff Girl. Like it looks like 80s, 90s.
Yes.
80s/90s New York City Powerpuff Girl-esque. It's giving all that. And even like the song is kind of giving that too.
Yes.
I love it. I love the art style.
Yeah, the art style is amazing. And I'm really excited because I love some of the, you know, live action that we're getting, like Ms. Marvel, for example, a recent fave. But I also really loved Into the Spider-Verse.
What? That was so good.
It's so good, right?
It's so good.
It's so good. So I'm really excited to see Marvel doing more cartoons. And I'm double plus excited because my niece is 7 and she is like the perfect age for this.
Yes.
So I was out here, you know, texting my brother. I was like, Ben, you have to show this to Angela immediately. Like, I need her to see this.
I need her to experience this.
It's so good. So
honestly, I got my life from it too.
Yeah.
Angela, Erica, both simultaneously got it together by watching this trailer. It's awesome. It's amazing.
It's really, really good. So we're linking to Twitter where they have the, it's like basically a music video. It's like 2 minutes and 19 seconds.
Yeah.
Watch the whole thing. You will be singing along by the end.
Absolutely.
And yeah, this is a piece of the Marvelverse that I'm like very, very excited about.
Yes. It looks so cute. And I guess I don't know what Disney owns or what Disney, I don't think is this Disney?
Well, like Disney and Marvel are sort of the same thing, but kind of not. I do, honestly, Erica, I could not.
I only say that because Disney has not been, I don't think I've been liking the Disney Marvel collaborations that much. Some of them have been kind of good, kind of lackluster, kind of like some of them are okay. I was going to say, this looks really good though. Excellent.
I have trouble keeping track of the right situation, so I just don't try.
Pretty much.
Ooh. All right. So that's our good news only section. Lots of nice things out here for those of you who are interested in them. We will do another sponsor and then we'll talk about some fictional worlds. Okay. So I am going to make you go first. So tell us, I know I'm the worst. First of all.
Yes.
When I came up with this theme, did you like immediately know what you were going to, what titles you were going to pick, or did you have to think about it?
I knew a lot of the ones that I would visit. I kind of knew those right off the bat. I was like, ooh, I would go here, here, and here. Mm-hmm. But for the ones I would not visit, I had to look through my Goodreads real quick. I was like, what have I like to refresh? And I'm like, okay, yeah. And I wonder if that's because I tend to finish books that like, that I usually like that make me feel pleasant or maybe, but it didn't take like super long.
Yeah. I had an easier time with the places I wouldn't. I actually had a harder time figuring out where I would go because there's so many of these worlds where I was like, I would like die in the first place.
You know what? I think I'm like, I suffer from like main character syndrome. Because I'm like, in these magical worlds, I'm like, yes, because then I will have powers. I will have the magic. Because that's the only way I would want to visit these worlds. I should say that as a disclaimer. I'm like, I have the magic. I'm the witch here.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. All right. So.
That's a good, I never even thought about that, but it's true. When I'm thinking about it, I'm like, I'm just me. Like, I'm just me.
Nah, I got powers.
That's the wise way to go about it, though.
Nah, I got all the powers, bro. All the powers that are to be had. Like, yeah, I'm the main character.
I got you. All right. I like it. I love it. I love that approach. Yes. Okay. So with that in mind, then, tell us about your first pick for where would you actually want to visit?
Okay. So I would actually want to visit the Murderbot world created by Martha Wells. There aren't really any powers. This is science fiction. So there aren't like powers and like, so I would not be a witch, unfortunately. But I like how, okay, first of all, Murderbot is like one of my favorite characters that I've come across. I've been on this show before and I've said how I've read all the books, which is true. I'm waiting on her to release the next one.
Yes.
So I really love the character. I identify deeply with them. And I don't know what that means for me as a person, but I'm like, yes, this thought process is logical to me. So I love the sarcasm, the introvertedness of Murderbot, but I also like how a part of the world is very shiesty and very like, there are corporations that, like our current corporations, don't care about people. They cut corners to save money, which sometimes results in people dying. They pay for people to be assassinated. I don't know why I'm laughing at that. Like, different bad things. But then there's also places, like settlements, where people are super, like, helpful and pleasant and, like, basically where... Dr. Mensa took him. That's what I'm like, okay, this is great. Plus, people can get these like cool little like body modifications. And I'm like, some of them were like, oh, she had perfect skin and slick, you know, whatever. I'm like, well, I want that. And cheek implants. I'm like, I want that. I want the body modifications plus living on Dr. Mensa's planet.
Not fair. If
anything else, I don't want it. Because all that other stuff sounds hard. And I want to hang around Murderbot. Because they're funny. Yeah. And watch, what is it called?
Oh, yeah, Silent the show. Moon. Yes.
Oh, I'm forgetting. It's like Fluorescent Moon. Sorry, say that again.
I said Something Moon.
Something Fluorescent Beige Moon and Murder Bob. Oh, and then Art. I love that for them. And they're just like the people on Dr. Mensa's planet are just like super inclusive and considerate and empathetic. So that's why I would love to be in the Murderbot world.
That is, I love that pick. I love that pick. I can't disagree with really any of it. It does seem like, you know, an awesome place to go. My first pick is also sci-fi. I picked the world of Valerie Valdez's Chilling Effect series. I would love to be a passenger on La Serena Negra. Like, I feel like it would be so much fun to meet Captain Eva and, like, the rest of the crew. I mean, I don't want to be involved with all of the, like, fridge space mafia shenanigans particularly.
Oh, okay.
But I do want to meet the psychic cats. I want a psychic cat friend.
There are psychic cats? There are psychic cats?
There are.
Wait, that sounds dangerous. Do they need to be psychic? Wait a minute.
It is definitely not. This world is not all like happy, happy sunshine, right? Like the crew goes through some very complicated, dire, violent shenanigans. But like there's so, Valdez has built such a fascinating, you know, interstellar set, as it were. And I just want to go on, the like non violent, scary Nine tour of violent. Those places, yeah. the chill yeah. tour of the chilling effect world. Like, that's where I would like to go. I would love to, like, have a beer with some of those characters and, you know, just, like, get to bask in the glory that is that world. There was also, in book two, there were these, like, little, like, kind of Pokemon creatures. And I was like, they're, like, bad, sort of, but I kind of want one.
But you want to catch one.
I want to catch one. So there's a lot to love in that world.
That sounds so amazing.
It's pretty awesome.
That makes me want to read it.
And you should read those books. You would like them.
Yeah, I think I would, honestly. It sounds really good. I'm pretty sure that's already on my TBR, which is obviously massive.
Right.
out of control, unwieldy. I feel like Psychic Cats kind of reminds me of Lion Cat. I'm like, Lion Cat
oh,
is
yes.
like psychic.
Lion Cat, the best cat.
Absolutely the best cat. Love mm-hmm. Lion Cat. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Excellent, excellent. So, question. Should we do all of our wood visits first and then wood not visit at the end, or should we mix it up?
Let's alternate. Do you want to give us a wood not visit?
Yes, a wood not visit. I would not visit the world of Flyaway by Kathleen Jennings. Although I liked this story, it's like a novella, it's pretty short. I learned some cool, like, Aboriginal mythology and stuff like that. It takes place in Australia, I should say that. But it was like, I liked the book. Yes, I think I said that already. Yes, I liked it. But it was very, like, dark, and there were some weird things happening. Someone got trapped as, like, this mythical beast, and it was like she had to roam around, like, disconnected from the rest of humanity, which was, like, super depressing. And there were these weird, like, bird creatures, like, this family had turned into bird creatures, and it was this overall general feeling, like, not just the specifics of what happened to each doomed character, but rather the overarching, like, sense of doom and despair that I felt. And my main character syndrome could not overcome it. I was like, I don't want it. So, that's why I would not visit this, basically. I wouldn't do it.
I think that's a good point, though, is that these are, like, I also picked books that I love, but I never want to go to there.
Exactly.
Like, that's, and it's, you don't have to want to go to be in a book to love it. You just, there's, like, reasons to love all of these books. But whether or not you would actually, like, who wants to go to Game of Thrones world? Like, no
oh,
one.
God.
No one.
Oh, God.
I mean, well, maybe there are people out there, but, like, nobody Probably, I know honestly. Wants to go to that world.
No one I associate with wants to go to that world. No.
That's, like, actually now going to be, like, a test I have for new people. Like, would you want to go?
Such
like,
a that's, good
that tells me something
test.
About you, possibly.
So, what would be your litmus test for where someone would want to go versus where they wouldn't? So, Game of Thrones would be where you think people should not want to go, but where would you
I think
say?
Actually this is interesting now. I think we both put down an honorable mention of Becky Chambers, and I think that that's like a pretty solid, like,
pretty
who wouldn't solid. Want to go to a Becky Chambers world? Like, they're pretty awesome.
They're pretty
so
great.
that's I hadn't thought about that, but that's very interesting.
I think that's a good litmus test.
All right, note to self. Also that's right, I double checked while I was in the background here. Sanctuary Moon is the name of the Murderbot
Sanctuary
show.
Moon.
Sanctuary Moon. I would love to see an episode of Sanctuary Moon. Personally.
I've heard Kevin R. Free say Sanctuary Moon so many times. I should have. He's the one that narrates the audiobook.
Gotcha.
Expertly, by the way.
Nice.
I should have remembered that. Sanctuary Moon. Yes, it's like a space. Obviously, everything's space. Soap opera, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I would love to watch one with Murderbot, honestly.
Right? Mm-hmm. All right, let's see. Let's do one of my would not visits. This was not hard. Like I said, it was real easy for me to look on my list and be like, I'm never going to that version of the horror universe. Yeah. So my first is the Beneath the Rising universe by Premium Muhammad. This is about as dark as I get when I do dark. And in this version of our world, there are like primal, like tentacle, ancient, evil forces, you know, chasing our characters and trying to take over the world, thanks to the inventions of one of our main characters who is just trying to actually like literally save the world from fossil fuels. And it accidentally unleashes, you know, the darkest of evils, kind of Lovecraftian situation.
I was gonna say, it's giving Cthulhu.
It's very Cthulhu, but updated Cthulhu. And like really like Muhammad has really made it her own. But you could not pay me enough money to go to that world.
Not like monsters. No,
oh, the monsters are so scary. I mean, it's so, and like, talk about a creeping sense of dread. Like every page of that book is tense and stressful and like terrifying. And it's really, really good. And I never, ever, ever want to go.
Never want to go.
Nope.
Oh my God. That sounds terribly frightening.
Yeah.
That sounds about as far as I can go dark wise.
Yeah. It's great though. I mean, the character relationships are so good, and that's what keeps me coming back despite the darkness. So good. But yeah, would not visit.
Would not. If I could give it less than no stars, I would.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Oof. Good thing we're not recording this tonight. I'm easily spooked and scared. I just have to throw that out there. So to lighten the mood, the next place I would visit is the world of A Master of Gin by Pete Jelly Clark.
Yes.
And oh my God, I love this world. Is so like, I feel like it's like, it feels so real to me. Mm-hmm. So basically it's Egypt, it's Cairo, 1912, and it's an alternate history of Cairo. This guy, Al-Jahiz, years ago, he like basically opened a portal, and through it, jinn came out back into like this plane of existence. And jinn are like these magical beings, basically. So they brought their magic to Egypt. Now they live amongst the, you know, the people of Egypt. And with that magic and their engineering, which is like, you know, has magic like interwoven throughout it, whatever, they were able to kind of compete with other world powers. And now they're their own world power. And the main character is Fatma. She's like the youngest woman at the academy. So at the academy of like, it's like alchemy and supernatural entities. Basically, she's a magic police woman. Mm-hmm. So she has this super fine girlfriend named City, who has an interesting secret we find out, but she's like super duper fine. And I love the magic, the djinn. I love the like little inventions. It's kind of like steampunky.
Yeah.
It's like steampunky plus magic plus Egypt plus there are like Egyptian deities kind of make appearances in a way, like in a slight way. And I'm like, yo, when I was like in third grade and we started learning about ancient Egyptians, I lost my little mind.
Oh.
Like I love Egyptian mythology. So I was getting my little, you know, my 9-year-old little heart was full. I loved it. Yeah, it's just such a realized, like a fully realized world, I feel. And it says Dead Djinn Universe number one, meaning it's a series. Mm-hmm. So,
have you not read the novellas yet?
Oh, I read one novella.
Okay. Okay.
I read the one where
A Dead Djinn in Cairo, that one?
Yep, I read that one.
Yeah.
With Fatma.
Yes.
There's another one that doesn't really follow her.
Yes, The Haunting of Tramcar 51, I want to say. 54.
Yes.
Also really good. Expands the world in a different direction. Does not follow Fatma. True. Yeah, yeah.
But I read that one too. I read that one before this one, which that was like the right chronological order, I believe.
Yes,
yeah.
I agree.
Loved it. That's when she met City. Ooh.
I know.
So I love this world. It was super cool. Even like the beginning. Some of it reminds me of The Mummy, which I guess because Egypt. But the beginning of it really reminded me of The Mummy for some reason, which is another movie from my childhood that I love.
Yes. Yep.
Love The Mummy.
Speaking of my language.
Yes. I love it. I would go here 100%. I might be a gin in this. I don't know.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
Maybe. Or half gin girl.
Sure.
No.
Sure. Okay. Sure. I, you know, historical fantasy settings, like speaking of Game of Thrones, like yes. Historical fantasy settings are always, I'm like, you know, especially if you are like not a white dude, historically speaking, like yeah. not good places to be places to be for a lot of reasons as in European fantasy. Now, yeah. I think Clark has created a past I would go to.
Yes.
Because, you know, like they have, you know, managed to defeat colonialism, like feminism and suffrage are like on the table mm-hmm. in Egypt in this situation. Like there's certainly wrongs, but it is a really fascinating world. And I absolutely would go and visit it. 100% agree.
Yeah. I like how you said that too, because it's like it feels like how the real world would deal with Jin actually being real. Yeah. Like there are still social issues.
Yeah.
They're being overcome or they're being worked on, but still certain things exist. And they talk about like the racism and how like yeah. Europeans don't like that the Egyptians have the Jin. Mm-hmm. And I like too that you said like traveling, like going to a world, like an SFF world of his like historical whatever, historical mm-hmm. setting in Europe, because that has to do with my next would not visit. I'm going to just say that.
Oh, interesting.
That was a perfect segue. Yes, I would like to. It was a perfect segue. Yep. Exactly why.
Okay, noted. Well, we'll come yes. back to that. Yes. So yeah, I co-sign. I would also go to the Dead Jinn universe in a mm-hmm. heartbeat. In a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. And my next one is another wood visit. Y'all know if you've been listening to the show, I'm obsessed with Nevo's The yes. Singing Hill Cycle. I yes. love it so
I
much.
Love that one too.
It is so good. And like I just want to follow, you know, our cleric around collecting stories from people cleric. With a talking bird. Like, what? Yes, yeah. I want to do that thing. Like, me and Chi on the road with the bird. Like, let's do the thing. Yeah. Like, this is what I want.
Yes.
It's such an interesting one. World. It's got so much breadth and, like, depth. Mm. And I love how each novella in this cycle really does stand as a standalone,
yeah.
but you know, they're all tied together by our cleric narrator who is so like perfect and lovely. So I adore this series. It's one of my happy place reads, even though like serious things happen. It's not all just like light and fun, but the vibes are just so beautiful and lush
yes.
and like fully realized in all of those interesting ways. And like, yeah, you've got like tiger women and you've got, you know, empresses like out here taking over and all kinds of interesting things going on. I just would love, 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 love to visit the Singing Hills world.
Same. The first book in the series, I think The Empress of Salt mm-hmm. and Fortune, that had me by a chokehold, I'm going to just say. I'm
right?
like, who, Nevo?
Yeah.
Girl. Excuse me, ma'am. Could you let off my throat, please? I was like, I love that one. And it's wild because these are all novellas. And
yeah.
they Vo packs so much into them that feels still natural. Like you said, it's like a fully realized mm-hmm. world with like a lot of depth and history that's already there without being, you know, told, like without telling us.
Yeah.
It's I love it. And those yo, this I haven't read the third one. The second one, The Tiger Women.
Yes.
That was intense.
Right?
I was like, y'all, tell us a story before we eat you.
Right. It's a very Sherazad situation.
Yeah, very much so, yes.
Yeah. It's so good. It's so good. I was actually just thinking that I might ask for these in print for the holidays because, like, the covers Ooh, are all so beautiful and I think
so
they
pretty.
Would look so nice lined up on my shelf. And you know I'm going to reread them. So.
Absolutely. And it's like, they're so short. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But yeah. That first one had me in a vice grip. Mm-hmm. I was crying. I was like, how does this happen? It, oh my God. It was so good.
So good. So good.
All right. Back to what you said about the historical SFF books that take place in Europe. Next one I have for a place I would not want to visit. The Bear and the Nightingale by Catherine Arden. Mm. And as you said before, just because we wouldn't visit doesn't mean the book isn't good. But I just have to say again, I really, really like this book. I really, really like this series. I thought it was so good. And it's basically, it's like, it has, I was unfamiliar with these stories, but it basically is kind of like a retelling of like Russian mythology, which was really cool to learn about. It's like, it's in the, like, so Vasilisa is living with her family. They are in the dead of winter, Russian winter. And there are these, so how should I say? It's really cool because you have your Russian lore. Like, you have your gods, you have these little deities. Like, there are, like, little, like, kind of like little gnomes or something, basically. I forgot what the Russian word for them was.
Sprites? Something like
kinda
that.
Kind of like sprite, yeah. I forgot what, I haven't read this book in probably, like, a couple of years, but I still remember it, and it also had me in a vice grip. But you like pay tribute to them or whatever. They kind of help protect your house and stuff like that. But then in comes Christianity and people start to forget those gods, they start to forget the little like gnomes and stuff. And so you see with Christianity, the old Russian ways are dying. So this girl, she doesn't fit in with how women are supposed to be at this time. And I forget, I don't remember if they said an exact time when this took place, probably like in the 1600s or something. So we're already starting off in the red, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, yeah, I don't want to. Why I would not want to visit here. She, it's how women are treated. She has all, let's just, I don't want to give spoilers, but even when you're like amazing, you're still a woman and it still sucks. And then there, even when you're not a woman, if the king says something, then that's what happens. If a clergyman says something, then, and you say something else, you know, who are they going to believe? There was also this really unexpectedly creepy part in here that had me gagging. I was like, oh my God, let me turn the light on. It was like very well done. Cause it's like, I don't know. I don't read a lot of, scary books. I don't watch like any scary movies, but this, I was like picturing this and I'm like, oh my God, this is actually like, it was some zombiness going on. Ooh. Zombie realness. Yes. But yeah, this story is so good. It's a series. There are like three of them, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, this was so good. There's like the God of Frost. I forgot what was that one line from it. I was super duper like recommend this, but I would absolutely not go to this world. I know it's very much, it's not as like terrible as Game of Thrones, but it's, you know, that's what you said, like historical, right? European fiction. It's like, no thanks.
Yeah, pass.
Yeah, pass. Thanks. Thank pass. You. Pass.
Thanks. No. Well, speaking of passes, so this was one of my favorite books of the last 5 years. Micaiah Johnson's The Space Between Worlds. It's a, like, you know, alternate universe hopping, like, sort of future tech situation with a heroine who is, you know, sort of morally gray and gets herself into some really intense situations. And I love, love, love this book. I never want to go anywhere near this world because the way that you travel between the different like parallel dimensions is that the other version of you has to be dead. And if you go when they're not, one of you dies horribly. Like, horribly. Terrible. It's terrible. Yeah, why? It's not great.
Awful.
And obviously, like, not everybody is, you know, universe hopping or dimension hopping. Yeah. But still, like, the potential for badness is real high. Very, very high. Also, this is a dystopian future. Like, there's the haves and the have-nots. It's a very stratified society. Lots of corporate shenanigans going on. And I, like, I, you know, while I recognize the sort of real possibility of this vision in that regard, I also like cling to the hope that that's not where we end up. So I would hope that we don't end up here, and I super don't want to visit but also like this book is so good. Like if you want to read a book that really digs into this idea of parallel dimensions and takes it in a whole different direction than anything else you've read before, like this is 100% that book. So
yeah, that sounds rough. I would pray that the other me in another world didn't also have ADHD, because she would forget that I was old. Be like, girl, as I die, I told you I was. Oh my god, girl, I'm so sorry. I forgot. Next thing I knew, I was just here. I totally forgot why I even came here. Like, oh, I died for nothing. Yeah. Hopefully, the other me doesn't have ADHD, because that would be terrible.
That
would just be
all
bad. Be dying.
That's right. Yeah. There's so many ways it could go wrong. Yeah. There's so many ways it could go wrong.
Yeah.
So again, that's The Space Between Worlds by Micaiah Johnson. Definitely want to read it. Definitely don't want to go there.
Yes. Okay. Back to worlds we would visit. I would visit Ray Bearer World by Jordan Ufueco. This book was so good. It takes place in a fictional world that is influenced by like African mythology, like all types of African mythology. You got West African mythology, Northern African. And I'm not 100% sure, but I feel like there might be like some Asian influences too. That's what I haven't read the second one, but this one was so good. This book was so good. It took me back to when I would discover series and like really love them, like when I was younger, if that makes sense. But this is a young adult novel, and it is about Tari Sy, who is raised by a terrible mother. Girl, she is a mess, honey. A mess and a half. And her mother makes her enter into this competition that is held for children to become like the crown prince's companions. And whoever he chooses will accompany him till they die, basically. And they are connected through this thing called the Ray, which is like kind of like this magical bond that is like just this very strong, like magical bond or whatever. I loved how this is another world that feels so full of life, really. So like well thought out and so like lived in. There's a map too. I don't always pay attention to maps, though. I don't know why. I'm just like, okay, that's cute. That was nice. I appreciate you put the effort into that. But even without that, basically, I don't pay attention to those. But there are so many cool elements. There are like magical drums and these interesting like magical creatures that I've never heard of before, but I'm super intrigued by. Tari Sy is half magical creature. Not a spoiler. That's in the beginning. I just love it. And I love how this is one I talked about in my newsletter. So I was like, oh, actually, yes, I would like to go to here. Please. Thanks. Yes. I love how what was I going to say? Yes, I just love all the different elements that make this feel like there are things that I know about that feel familiar. There are aspects of like culture and stuff that Ufueco includes that feel new, but they feel like, oh, that sounds right. And then there are new, like fantastical things. So it just sounds like super duper cool. And I love it. And it's also, apart from like, you know, a place I would want to visit, it also is like the like kind of historical court SFF book that I've been waiting for so long. I used to read so many of them, and they would take place like usually like in Europe, England, or like China. And they'd be like, you know, whatever. But this one obviously takes place in a fictional African world, and it has all the same like court stuff that I used to love to read. I think that's also why I was like, ooh, this is taking me back to like middle school in a good way. But yes, I love it, and I need to read. I have the sequel.
Yes.
And that might be the holiday read. But yes, so good.
That book, the sequel made me cry. I'm not going to lie.
I'm going to cry. I'm sure.
Cried actual tears with my actual face. we did a book club for Ray Bear sometime in the past year. And yeah, I can totally understand it. I do not know that I would go because I'm terrified of those ghost demon things.
Oh, like, yeah. They're funky.
They're real scary to me. But I 100% understand where you're coming from. It is an amazing world. And this is one of those ones where, like, I don't have powers, so I'm going to die if I go.
Oh, yeah. No, I got the Ray girl. I'm good.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm
you like, got the Ray. You're boom, good.
So, yeah, main character syndrome. Fair enough. Saves me here.
Fair mm-hmm. enough. But, yeah, an amazing world. An amazing world.
Yes.
All right, let's see. So this is my last wood visit, and it is actually also the darkest of the books that I picked for wood visit, but I think it just goes to show how well plotted and laid out it was. It's The World of the Inheritance of Orchidia Divina by Zoraida Cordova. This book is like, you know, our world plus magical realism elements, and there's a house that appears out of nowhere, and like the matriarch of this, you know, Montoya clan, Orchidia, is like turning into a tree, and like it's not good, but it's fascinating. And you know, some of the members of the family have like flowers growing out of their foreheads, and like there's just, you know, and then there's this like demonic force that's chasing them down, and they have to figure out why and what the family history is and go back to Ecuador and like figure all these things out. And it's just, I think the reason that I like, it's not even that I would visit. I want to live in a version of our world where these things are possible. Like, this was always my dream as a kid, is like that magic is real.
Yes.
That like all of the fantastical, fabulous, whatever elements that I was reading like are real, and I just don't know it, right? They're actually real.
Yes.
People experience these things, like, and that's the vision of, you know, the Inheritance of Orchidia Divina. Like, yeah, it's real. For some people, it's real. And it's like, yeah, that's always what I want.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, what Cordova did here was just give me the world that I wish already existed, even though it's a dark and a dangerous place. But like, these things are possible.
I would protect you with my magic.
Thank you. See, there you go. Erica will save me.
I'll save you.
I just want to live in this. I want this to be reality, mm-hmm. even though it is dark and scary sometimes. It's also beautiful. So, yeah, this book also, I will say, coming up on the holidays when you are forced to spend time with family that you might have complicated feelings about, this book is the complicated family dynamic read for SFF of the past few years. Like, there is a family dinner scene in here that I was like, were you spying on us?
Were
like,
you?
How did you know that this was the fight we had? Like, it's really real about those things. And I found that very therapeutic as well. So
that's dope. I have had this on my list for a minute.
Oh, it's so good.
You make me bump it up.
Ugh. Do it. Do it. Bump it up.
It sounds so good.
Oh, it's so good.
Now, my last crappy place I never want to visit. I read this book years ago, closer to when it first came out. I think it came out in like 2015. I think I read it in 2015 or 2016. So it's been a minute, but oh my God, I remember. It's called Alice by Christina Henry. It's basically a dark retelling of Alice in Wonderland. And it follows this girl, young woman, who has these terrible like flashbacks back to this tea party that happened a long time ago, and she gets like these snippets of what happened, but she doesn't know why her mind like keeps going back to that. And she is in a hospital. I believe it's like a mental hospital. Actually, I kind of don't remember, but I remember her being in a hospital, and she gets to escape from it one day, and she goes out. She escapes, and then she basically tries to find out what happened to her at the tea party and why does it keep coming back to her. And this is just, oh my God, there's like this old city, and there's these beasts she has to track down. It's this like super duper dark. And I'm realizing too, the books that I've chosen I realize they're categorized as horror. And the ones that I've chosen that I don't want to visit. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense. That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense, actually. But the Erica that liked this book, I don't know that I would read it now. Mm. Like, I enjoyed it. It's another one, again, as we keep saying, I enjoyed mm-hmm. it when I read it. There's a trigger warnings, content warnings for this one, and that's why I wouldn't read it. It was, like, super dark. And now that I look back on it, I'm like, I wonder if some of the things were like gratuitous. Oh. It was like really horrible.
Yeah.
Some stuff that happened. So I was like, oh yeah.
Well, and I think also our capacity for reading stuff that includes those dark things shifts over time, right? Like some Definitely. Things that like we were able to, you know, be like open to reading about, sometimes we get less open.
Yeah.
Over the course of our lives or situations or whatever's going on in the world, you know? So yeah. there's that,
no,
too.
It's definitely a thing. I think that happened with me here. Like, yeah. Like, some of the scenes, like, I still remember all these Ooh. Years later. And I'm just like, ooh, that was terrible.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it was a terrible, dark world. Well written, but terrible, dark world. Never.
Well, there you go.
Yep.
Let's not go to there.
Let's not go to there, please. I won't be able to save us, Jen.
That's right.
My powers will shrivel up and evaporate from me.
Well, so my last pick for a place I would not go is nothing actually to do with the world building necessarily, except for the planetary situation. Let me explain. It's Charlie Jane Anders' City in the Middle of the Night. And I love this book. I love this story. I think it's fascinating. And I am kind of obsessed with the aliens in it. It takes place on a planet that humans have colonized and called January. They think that there is no intelligent life on the planet. They are wrong. Spoiler. But this planet is a tidally locked planet, like our moon. So it's one side of it is always facing the sun and one side of it is always facing away from the sun. Like the orbits are, that's the way the orbits shake up. So there's only a very narrow band of habitable area for humanity. And it is always, there's no sunrise and sunset. It's always dusk Eesh. In that habitable band. And I would die immediately if there was not, I would not be able to make it if there's not sunrise and sunset and like a circadian rhythm. Like that's one of the most fascinating things to me about this book, even though there's so much else going on, is how Anders has like imagined people might adjust to it. So it differs from one city to the next. Like, do people live, you know, like what kind of system of time do they use to make up for the lack of a circadian rhythm, which is not a thing they even know about, right? So like, they're like, what's that? Like, that's not a thing. I would not make it. I would not make it.
Nah.
Like, anytime I travel too far north and like, we don't get that, you know, you have these really long days and like basically no night or vice versa.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I'm gonna die. Like, I'm not gonna make it. So
That's like seasonal affective disorder is real.
Yeah. And I don't, it's funny, I don't actually have that.
Right,
like,
right.
I do just fine in the winter.
Yeah.
It's the, because there's still like a sunrise and a sunset, like the amount of sunlight you get is shorter or longer or whatever, but like you still get a circadian rhythm. It's where there's just like, nope, it's just this level of light forever. I cannot do it physically or emotionally or mentally.
I would have to agree with you on that one. Yeah, I can't go there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot.
Ooh, it's a lot. Depressing. It's a lot. It's an amazing read, though. I mean, it's just such a fascinating thought experiment. And, you know, I'm obsessed with all of these characters and the aliens, like I said. So you should read The City in the Middle of the Night. And like, you know, people live in Alaska. Like, people manage to do this.
I just am
not going to be one of them. Ever.
My aunt lives in Alaska. And they're an interesting group of people up there. Mm. I'll just say they're very interesting. And now that we talk about this, I'm like, that might be why. They're interesting. I'll say that.
Well, there you go.
They are colorful people. Yes. but I don't know. We don't have time for another one, do we? Are we basically out
of
time? You
make it quick. You want to make a quick one?
Yeah. Okay. I have a last quick one. The Hacienda by Isabel Cañas. And this is like basically a retelling of Rebecca.
Yeah.
And so you already know that's like the main character, she marries this widower. So this man, his wife died. And that's Rebecca, right? So it's not anything new there. That's not a spoiler. And we also know that the house is haunted. Yes. But what I love is that there is a priest, like, you know, a Catholic priest, but he's also a witch. He's a brujo. So, you know, there's like elemental magic. And I obviously don't like the, I don't like the ghosts, the ghostesses, because they were, this one was really super nasty. This book, like, legit scared me. I felt like I was watching, like, a horror movie. I was like, oh, my God.
But it's on your would visit list?
Yes, I would visit it because I like the magic of the world, but I wouldn't be in the haunted house. I wouldn't be in a haunted house anyway. That's on them for being on a haunted house. Who told them to live in that haunted house? Not me. I wouldn't do it. So that's, I'm like, girl, that's on you. You in that haunted, who told you to be in that haunted house? You stupid for being in there. So I wouldn't be in the haunted, as long as you're not in the haunted house, you're good.
I gotcha.
Yeah. Like, it's haunted house. You know it's haunted. You sound crazy, girl. Stop. But yes, I mean, I really like the magic. I think I really like elemental magic. And it does a really good job of talking about like colorism and stuff like that. I might not live in Mexico at this time because it was just like not the best for women or different things unless you marry rich. But I might live some like in the Caribbean maybe, but like with that magic. But yeah, it was a great book. The cover's also really pretty, side note.
Nice. Interesting. This has been quite a journey we've gone on.
It has.
I feel like we've discovered a lot about ourselves and each other.
We did. This was oddly very like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's like a low budget personality test.
It is. It is. Yeah. So if you ever want to learn more about your friends and family, this is a game you should play with them.
Yes.
It's a fun one. Well, thank you, Erica, for coming on this journey with me.
It was great. It was fabulous. It was such a great idea.
Thank you.
Oh my God, I loved it. It was fun.
Hooray. All right. Well, that wraps us up for today. SFFEA is sound edited by the excellent Caitlin Brame. Many thanks to her. If you want more recommendations of books from all genres and definitely from sci-fi and fantasy, check out bookriot.com. You can find our other podcasts at bookriot.com/listen. Thank you, as always, for listening. If you would like to email us, maybe you have theme ideas, maybe you have places you would and would not go. Maybe you want to send us some more pet pictures. You can do that, sffyeah@bookriot.com. If you have a moment, please also review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podchaser, wherever. It helps other people find the show. And Erica, where can people find you not on this show?
I guess I'm still on Twitter, y'all. Erica_EZE_ I'm gonna probably have to find another place, but for now that's where I am. Gotcha. Yes.
I am just barely still on Twitter, but I'm enjoying Hive Social. Shout out to Hive Social. So you can find me on Hive, Twitter, and Tumblr as Jen IRL, JennIRL, or on Instagram as I am Jen IRL. And we'll talk to you next time.